Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, January the 16th, 2018. Let's begin. Disappointment, hope expressed at King events. Illinois NAACP leader Haley, we are what makes America great. Martin Luther King Jr. Day was commemorated at Illinois Wesleyan University with a mixture of disappointment about the present and hopefulness for the future. Teresa Haley, president of the Illinois NAACP, commented that since President Donald Trump has been in office, it feels like we've gone back 50 years. It is very difficult to make America great again when we have people in office who do things to divide us, said Haley, keynote speaker at IWU's annual King Teach-In. Haley said progress has been made, pointing to the diversity of the audience of about 100 people attending the teach-in at the Hanson Student Center in Bloomington. We are what makes America great, said Haley. We are the melting pot. Diversity also was reflected in the crowd attending the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday Gospel Festival in Westbrook Auditorium at IWU's Presser Hall, where all joined the United Community Gospel Singers of Bloomington Normal in singing We Shall Overcome. Barbara Sims Malone, whose parents, the Reverend James and Corrine Sims, founded the festival, said, "That song we sing, We Shall Overcome, we're going to keep singing it because we still haven't overcome." She pointed to police shootings and white supremacists that have been in the news and asked who would follow in King's footsteps. Who is the next one to make a difference? Somebody has to stand up for freedom and justice, she said. Walter Carter of Bloomington said better communication is needed, but the problem is trust is gone. However, Jamie Davis of Bloomington, whose daughter was among the performers at the festival, still thinks people are pursuing King's dream. There have been some steps backward, but it's only going to get better, she said. Lauren Yep, an IWU sophomore in chemistry and sociology from Glenview, said after the teach-in that amid some of the backward steps, it is important for more people to step up and not silently watch. IWU chaplain Elise Nelson Wingler also called on people to stand up to the bigotry and bullying that's become more commonplace every day. Reading a prayer delivered by King in 1959, she expressed King's hope for a kingdom of understanding where men will live together as brothers and respect the dignity and worth of all. Haley said one answer to the regressive steps is unity in our communities. Have discussions like this to address issues that have an impact on the entire community, she said after the teach-in, which focused on the evolution of housing equity as a civil right. Sims Malone said King was not just for civil rights, but for human rights. Even small steps by individuals can make a difference, said Davis. I try to teach my daughter that one random act of kindness at a time makes a difference, she said. On a recent snowy day, Davis got out of work a little early and started clearing snow off other people's cars. Her daughter joined in. Then, as other co-workers came out, they also helped clean other people's cars. Kindness will have a ripple effect, she said. That's what Dr. King was dreaming. That's a typographical error. I believe that's what Dr. King was dreaming. He wanted people to be kind to each other. Outbreak of flu may be slowing locally. Hundreds remain ill in central Illinois. The influenza outbreak that began in December appears to be slowing down, central Illinois medical professionals said Monday. But hundreds of central Illinoisans remain ill, meaning everyone should remain vigilant about reducing the spread of flu and other upper respiratory infections. We continue to have a high volume, and we are seeing it in all our patient care centers, doctor's offices, immediate care, the emergency department, said Laurel Mode, infection preventionist at Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. But our number of positive flu test results is tapering off. OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington has seen the same trends. The numbers are still high for mid-January, said Deb Smith, the hospital's vice president for nursing and operations. We absolutely have seen more cases this year. Flu hit early and hard in December. No one knows how many central Illinoisans have had the flu because the only numbers that are required to be reported to the state are pediatric deaths and hospital intensive care unit admissions. So far this flu season, nearly 220 people have tested positive for flu at Broman as inpatients or through the emergency department or lab, Mode said. At OSF, Prompt Cares, and doctor's offices in Bloomington Normal, 513 people have tested positive for flu, Smith said. At St. Joseph, there have been 42 confirmed cases since flu season began, and three of those patients were admitted to the ICU. At Advocate Eureka Hospital in New Eureka, the emergency department and immediate care continue to treat patients with flu and other upper respiratory infections, said Mark Leroux, manager of the emergency department and immediate care. Strep, gastroenteritis, bronchitis, and RSV in children are among other circulating illnesses, medical professionals said. McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis reported around Christmas that three people had died of influenza in McLean County. Why flu season hit harder and earlier this year is not known. One reason appears to be that one circulating virus has mutated, making the flu vaccine less effective. That H3N2 strain is associated with more hospitalizations. Some people who have gotten the flu have had the vaccine, Mode said. Some have not received the vaccine. The vaccine may not be as effective as in some years in the past. Still, Mode continues to recommend a flu shot for people who haven't had one this year. You will still get some protection from other strains of the flu, she said. The result may be that people who get the flu are not as ill as if they didn't get the vaccine. But Smith said 76% of OSF prompt care and doctor's office patients who tested positive for flu had not been vaccinated. Illinois Public Health Department reports that flu remains widespread throughout Illinois and 617 people statewide have been admitted to hospital ICUs. Smith said the extreme cold and school's winter break may have limited the spread of the virus because many people stayed indoors. Sue Rutherford, school nurse at Bent Elementary School in Bloomington District 87, said, "We have seen a slight decrease in absences compared to before winter break." Susie Markham, curriculum chair for McLean County Unit 5 school nurses, said, "Illness at Unit 5 is increasing and decreasing in pockets. We are not seeing anything that's alarming or unusual for this time of year." Mode said the number of positive flu tests may be declining because some doctors are no longer ordering flu tests because they know that flu is widespread in the community and they can diagnose the flu based on the symptoms. Daily Digest. Preschool to mark anniversary. Shining Lights Preschool in Normal will celebrate its 20th anniversary with a dinner and gathering January 27th. The preschool, which operates through Christ Lutheran Church at 311 Hershey Road in Normal, will host a spaghetti dinner at 4:30 p.m. in the Church Fellowship Hall. At the 5:30 p.m. service, the enrolled children will present a short concert. Dessert and fellowship will be available after the service for current and former students, teachers, church members, and their families. For reservations, call the church office at 309-452-5609. Setting it right. A correction. Ruth Cobb edited and wrote additional material about the Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School for the 2007 book, A Place We Called Home. that compiled the residents' stories collected by the ISSCS, Historical Preservation Society, the book's publisher. Her role related to the book was incorrect in a story in Wednesday's Pantograph. Today in History. Today is Tuesday, January the 16th, the 16th day of 2018. There are 349 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On January 16, 1978, NASA named 35 candidates to fly on the space shuttle, including Sally K. Ride, who became America's first woman in space, and Guyon S. Bluford, Jr., who became America's first black astronaut in space. On this date, in 27 BC, Caesar Augustus was declared the first emperor of the Roman Empire by the Senate. In 1547, Ivan IV of Russia, popularly known as Ivan the Terrible, was crowned Tsar. In 1865, Union Major General William T. Sherman decreed that 400,000 acres of land in the South would be divided into 40-acre lots and given to former slaves. The order, later revoked by President Andrew Johnson, was believed to have inspired the expression 40 acres and a mule. In 1920, prohibition began in the United States as the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution took effect 1 year to the day after its ratification. It was later repealed by the 21st Amendment. In 1935, fugitive gangster Fred Barker and his mother, Kate Ma Barker, were killed in a shootout with the FBI at Lake Weir, Florida. In 1942, actress Carol Lombard, 33, her mother Elizabeth, and 20 other people were killed when their plane crashed near Las Vegas, Nevada, while en route to California from a war bond promotion tour. Thought for today. Goodwill is the only asset that competition cannot undersell or destroy. Written by Marshall Field, department store founder, 1834 to 1906. Reduce your risk for flu. Medical professionals recommend the following steps to reduce the spread of flu. Get a flu shot, it's not too late. Stay healthy by getting plenty of rest, eating a balanced diet, and staying hydrated. Wash your hands frequently and thoroughly. Cover your coughs and sneezes with your arm or a tissue. Stay home if you are sick. Stay away from people in hospitals and nursing homes, the elderly, people with compromised immune systems, and young children because they are at greater risk of complications from flu. Call them instead. If you're sick but must go out, wear a mask and don't touch anyone. Don't return to work or school until you are fever-free for at least 24 hours, without vomiting, diarrhea, or the use of fever-reducing medicine. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Can you name the Logan County city that is considered to be in the exact middle of the state, and for that reason was also once considered as a potential site for the state capital? And the answer is Middletown. That's how it got its name. Cold snap likely to end quickly. To quote Patrick Back, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln, the next few days are going to be more than just bitterly cold. It's going to be pretty nasty, he said Monday afternoon, just before a wind chill advisory went into effect for all of central Illinois that will expire at noon today. Temperatures are expected to drop, and wind chill factors could be 12 degrees below zero to 22 degrees below early Tuesday morning. A wind chill advisory means that frostbite and hypothermia can occur in as little as 30 minutes if precautions are not taken. The deep freeze won't be as bad or as long as the cold snap that hit the area during the last week of December and the first week of January, he said. The high temperatures on Tuesday and Wednesday will be about 18 degrees, and the mercury may reach 32 degrees Thursday and close to 50 degrees by Sunday, Bach said. It seems like we have had a roller coaster of temperatures all season, Beck said, but I see signs that the last half of January should be warmer than it has been during the first half of the month. The cold snap comes on the heels of another storm system that dropped several inches of snow on most of central Illinois on Sunday and Monday. Amounts varied. For instance, Streeter reported 6.1 inches, but most reporting stations around the Twin Cities reported 3 inches of snow. There should be no threat of rain or snow for the rest of the week, according to the NWS. There is a chance of showers on Sunday, but Beck said it is too early to tell how significant that system will be if and when it arrives. Blowing and drifting snow caused problems through much of Monday. Local and state law enforcement agencies reported several crashes and calls for cars in ditches or medians on Monday. At least 2 crashes led to fatalities, according to the Illinois State Police. In Sangamon County, a 44-year-old Springfield man died following a 2-vehicle crash on Interstate 55 near Auburn about noon Monday. In Champaign County, a 58-year-old Savoy man was killed in a crash at 10:18 a.m. on Interstate 57 near Thomasboro. Both crashes remain under investigation. There also was a power outage Sunday night that left several hundred Corn Belt Energy customers without power for about 2 hours. About 810 homes were without power in Arrowsmith, Bloomington, Downs, Ellsworth, Farmer City, Hayworth, and Leroy. Officials said an upstream transmission issue caused the substation outage, and crews restored the power to all the customers by 10:10 p.m. Sunday. Tournament challenges students. 260 gather for fun strategy at annual MLK chess event. Even at 6 years old, Adarsh Sivaraman enjoyed mental challenges. And on Monday, he had a full day of them during the annual Martin Luther King Scholastic Chess Tournament at Illinois State University in Normal. I like the tactical strategy, the first grader from Colleen Hughes Elementary School in Normal said after winning his opening match in the Bone Student Center's Brown Ballroom. Chess is just a lot of fun. He was one of 260 participants in the tournament, founded about 3 decades ago by Garrett Scott, a former elementary school teacher who also served on the Normal City Council. The tournament brings kindergartners through 8th graders from across the state. My son is the one who is wiggling around all over the place, said Tricia Martin, as she watched her 5-year-old son Quinn play his first ever competitive chess match. He learned how to play because his brother plays and he wanted to enter the tournament. Then, when we got here, he was nervous and said that he couldn't remember how to play, but he did fine. Quinn's brother, Cruz, 8, also was in the tournament. The brothers are in kindergarten and 2nd grade, respectively, at ISU's Thomas Metcalf School in Normal. I like castling, Cruz said, referring to a move in which a king moves 2 squares toward a rook in the first rank, and that rook moves at the same time to the square on the other side of the king. I just like thinking ahead and trying to win, Cruz said. Also entered into the tournament was Benedict Hendrickson, a 12-year-old homeschooled student who plays for Normal's Epiphany School Chess Club. I have been playing for about 3 years, he said. It's just fun. I like to play with other kids. His opponent in the first round was Umika Coricetti, 13, a student at Evans Junior High School in Bloomington. I have been playing since I was about 5 years old, she said. I like the strategy and I enjoy finding people who know how to play and can compete. That is the reason the tournament remains a Martin Luther King Day tradition in Normal, Scott said. I was an elementary school teacher most of my life, and any time that I am able to watch young players play chess and enjoying the benefits the challenges gives the young people, I enjoy it, he said. There is no other downstate community that has chess activity like we do in Bloomington Normal. Scott said that In a faster-paced world, in which many kids spend their time playing video games, it is refreshing to see those who still have a passion for a game without electronics. Chess is a game where you have to think about each move and form a strategy and think two or three moves ahead, he said. It's not quick and reactionary like most video games. It holds the player accountable for how much thinking and planning they do for each game. This is always one of my favorite days of the year, said Garrett Scott. Best-selling Reagan author to speak at dinner. Craig Shirley, author of four bestsellers on Ronald Reagan, will be the keynote speaker at a February 2nd dinner at Eureka College in honor of the former president's birthday. Reagan, who graduated from Eureka College in 1932, would have turned 107 on February 6th. Shirley is the author of Rendezvous with Destiny, Ronald Reagan and the Campaign That Changed America, Reagan's Revolution, the Untold Story of the Campaign That Started It All, Last Act, The Final Years and the Emerging Legacy of Ronald Reagan, and Reagan Rising, The Decisive Years, 1976 to 1980. Shirley also wrote Citizen Newt, The Making of a Reagan Conservative, the only authorized biography of the early career of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. A book signing will immediately follow the dinner. Tickets are limited and cost $50. Reservations can be made by phone at 309-467-6319 or by email at tkennell, K-E-N-N-E-L-L, at eureka.edu. The dinner will be at the college's Surf Center with a cocktail hour starting at 6 p.m. and dinner at 7 p.m. Shirley also is a lecturer, historian, and public affairs consultant, who is a regular commentator on many networks and cable shows, and a contributor to national publications. He taught a course called Reagan 101 as the first Reagan scholar at Eureka College in 2012, and also has presented other programs at the college. The dinner is sponsored by the Ronald W. Reagan Society of Eureka College. The society is dedicated to helping Reagan's alma mater study, teach, and share the lessons and values that Reagan learned from Eureka College and used in his lifetime of leadership roles. Eureka College also will celebrate Founders Day on February the 2nd. The Reverend Beau Underwood, a 2003 Eureka College graduate and senior minister of First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, in Jefferson City, Missouri, will be the guest speaker at the annual Founders Day convocation at 4 p.m. at the Surf Center. Underwood will speak on the virtue of vocation. The college was founded by abolitionists from the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, in 1855. It is among 17 colleges and universities affiliated with the church. Woodford County extends Tri-County discussion. The Woodford County Board is deciding how to move forward with economic development and its association with a regional economic development group. Discussion is expected to continue at today's board meeting after discussions at last month's board meeting and last week's county finance meeting. At issue is whether the county should continue to give money to the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission. The board last fall voted against keeping its membership. Previously, the county provided funding and had 7 seats on the board. The latest proposal calls for 2 county board members on the Tri-County Board, with the other 5 seats going to Germantown Hills, Metamora, Eureka, Roanoke, El Paso, Minunk. Funding would be divided among the 7 seat holders. Last fall, Woodford County appointed Roy Bachler to an unpaid position of Economic Development Coordinator but did not define his duties. A budget change in October includes $15,000 for non-specified economic development. We said that we didn't want Tri-County the way it was in the past, board member Dwayne Kingdon said. That was broke. This is our chance to fix this. The county can do some good and guide these mayors. This is a fresh start, not business as usual. But board member Doug Hooser said the county needs to let Bockler have a chance to take economic development in the county in a new direction. Let's give the guy a chance to do it, Hooser said. We need a new beginning to see what we can do. Board member Stan Glazier said, there is growing interest among additional municipalities to possibly fund seats or share seats on the Tri-County Board. The county board needs to say either yes or no, but we've got to move on here, he said. Here is a theater review written by Patricia Stiller. Less is more laughter at the Players. Abridging the Bard results in 97 minutes of nonstop hilarity. It has been said that just 15 minutes of good, hearty laughter can burn 10 to 40 calories a day. With 97 minutes of hilarity at the ready on Robin Hood Lane in Bloomington, why not skip the gym and laugh your way to your New Year's resolution guilt-free at Community Players Theater? The venue's current production, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, is an uproarious compilation of all 37 of the legendary Bard's works performed at breakneck speed by three talented and tireless actors, Dave Montague, Chris Stevenson, and Missy Freeze, working as one well-oiled theatrical machine. The script, written more than 30 years ago by Reduced Shakespeare Company founders Adam Long, Daniel Singer, and Jess Winfield, begins with a parody of Romeo and Juliet, followed by Titus Andronicus as a cooking show, and then an Othello rap. A fourth wall is non-existent. Improvisation is encouraged and audience participation is a must. The second act is devoted entirely to Hamlet, and, spoiler alert, it holds the world record for being the shortest performance of Hamlet ever, clocking in at just 43 seconds. I wonder what they'll do with the extra time they have left. At the author's suggestion, pop culture references are added to each production by cast and director, giving this clever piece an unlimited shelf life. In this production, director Brett Cotton, with complete faith in his talented trio, gives them a pretty wide berth, and the end result is delightfully choreographed madness. It is not at all necessary to be a lettered Shakespearean scholar to enjoy this production. A general familiarity will get you through. It might be helpful, however, to brush up on your Grey's Anatomy to fully appreciate the impassioned send-up of the beloved medical drama given to the hilt by Missy Freeze. I attended with a self-confessed superfan, and she declared Miss Freeze's tribute hilarious. It is both interesting and perhaps fortuitous that in the same week that Community Players is offering The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, written by the founders of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, the Reduced Shakespeare Company itself will be presenting William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Forsooth, the arts are alive in the Twin Cities, and I would encourage you to catch both performances. Consider it literary fitness. The aerobic benefits alone will be worth it. So, it is being performed at the Community Players Theater at 201 Robin Hood Lane in Bloomington, 7:30 p.m. January 19th to the 20th, 2:30 p.m. on January 21st. Tickets cost $7 to $15. The box office phone number is 309-663-2121. The running time is 2 hours, including a 10-minute intermission. We've now come to the end of the first half hour of the Bloomington Normal Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.